This podcast is brought to you by Podcast Nation.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Going back to the imposter syndrome, like I used to really get stressed out before a red carpet because I was like, oh my gosh, I feel like I need to reinvent the wheel and it has to be something that no one's ever seen. And it really doesn't need to be that. It's just like, I'm always like, okay, you just need to relax. If it looks good, then it looks good.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be like groundbreaking, like something that no one's ever seen before.
Welcome to The Real Reel, where we go behind the highlight reel and go into the unfiltered. I'm your host, Natalie Barbu, and let's get into it.
Hello, Caitlin. Thanks for coming on my podcast.
Hey, how are you? Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I'm very excited to have you on because you are the very first stylist slash closet organizer and like celebrity stylist that I have on my podcast. And I've been doing this for 4 years, so I've had a lot of different careers. And so I'm very excited to talk to you about this.
I'm so excited to be here.
Yeah. And I want to, before we get into like how you got to where you are, you know, how you actually made this into a career, I want to go back to the beginning where your childhood, were you always a very organized person? Were you always someone that like had your room clean, had, you know, your closet was perfectly like organized? You were into fashion. Like, when did you realize that this was a skill that you had?
Yeah, so it's so funny. I feel like early on, my mom used to tell me like, okay, you cannot go get new clothes unless you clean out your closet. So from the beginning, like, it's just always been ingrained to me. Like, if you want new clothes, you have to clean out your closet. My dad even said my first word was outfit.
So wait, really?
I don't know if that's true, but I feel like it sounds good. I mean, it just feels like it's like too on the nose. But yeah. I feel like from then, that was kind of my intro into fashion, just right from there.
Yeah.
And then I feel like I'm just naturally someone who just has always been organized. So I always thought it was interesting. Like, how do people not know how to organize their closets? But I guess that's why I have a job. So I'm happy they don't know how.
Yeah. So when you were younger and you're, you know, had to get rid of something to like get new clothes, your mom was always telling you that you first word was outfit, very into fashion. Were you the person that like your friends went to when it was like time to go shopping, time to go back to school shopping, and they were like, Caitlin, like, should we wear this? Or like, what do you think about this outfit? Or let's go shopping together. Or did you win like best dressed in high school? Or like, what was your, did people know you as like that girl that was always like super dressed up and always like looked good?
I feel like yes. Like, I don't want to be that person that's like, yeah, I was so fashionable. But
no, but yeah, like,
I feel like I was. I mean, I just feel like it's always been something, again, that's come so naturally. And it really alters like my motivation for the day. Like, I feel like at sleepovers, like girls would just be like, oh, let me just get any t-shirt, any like sweatpant. But for me, it had to be something that was cute. Like, it had to be cute for me to start the day. So I feel like even, oh my gosh, okay, this is actually a really funny story that kind of maybe goes back to the beginning. But in middle school, the school I went to, you had to declare like what sport you wanted to play. And for PE, you couldn't just do like you could do a general PE, but like, at my school, the cool girls did volleyball.
Okay, because of the outfits?
And like, it was just like the cool sport. And so my mom was like, okay, you could do volleyball, but like, what about soccer? And I was like, nah, the uniforms are gross. Yeah. Like, basketball, no, not my thing. But then volleyball, they got to wear spandex shorts, and that was like super cute. You know, in middle school, I was like, ooh, a little like sexy, you know what I mean?
Yep.
So my mom said, so I made the worst team. Like, I'm not athletic at all. And my mom said it was like the most awful game she's ever been to. Like, she was like, it was miserable. Like, I love going to the games because you're my daughter. And she was like, but one day I like looked up from my phone because like, she was like, there was something like going on other than just the ball hitting the ground. And she was like, I saw you were like leading the huddle. And she was like, that was crazy. Like, you're not athletic. And then she realized it was because I was telling everybody how to tie their uniform a certain way and like style the jersey. And my mom was like, oh my God, you're cropping the jersey. And I'm pretty sure like the coach like yelled time out. And she was like, why are you cropping your jersey? Like, you're not allowed to do that. So I feel like, yeah, I guess honestly, now looking back at it, yeah, I guess I was always just to my core.
Yeah.
A fashion girl.
And when you went to college, did you major in fashion or what did you end up majoring in?
Yeah. So I actually went to Indiana University and they had a really good fashion merchandising program and it was more focused on business. So I did the business side. I hated it. Then I did the design side that was like way too creative. I hated that. And so I ended up just going into communications after I did like a fashion minor with the creative and the business side of it, mm-hmm. just because I still didn't know what I wanted to do. I thought I wanted to do fashion PR. And then like right after school, I was like, I hate this. I just need to jump the gun and just go to styling.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And okay, so you have done, you know, Madison Beer's Closet. You've done, I think, Harry Jowsey as well,
yeah,
right?
I used to style Harry all the time.
Style him. Yeah. Yeah. You've done a lot of different celebrities in LA. I'm sure I'm missing a ton. Those were the two that stuck out to me.
Yeah.
But how do you break into the celebrity / like entertainment world? Because there's so many girls that are studying fashion in school. There's so many girls going to fashion programs. They love styling. They love, you know, that's what they want to do. I even have my old college roommate is like a stylist in Nashville, actually. And she's like doing some country music artists and things like
that's
that.
Awesome.
And I think it's like so cool. But how do you even like break into it? Because there's not that many, you know, stylists that make it to this like celebrity tier, but there's so many people that are interested in fashion and want to do it.
Yeah, it's so interesting because I think being from LA, I never really actually had the desire to go into the celebrity stage or, you know, part of it.
Yeah.
And I just quickly saw that it's really one of the most unglamorous jobs. And I think any job, I feel like maybe even you would maybe feel that as like a podcaster. Like
yeah.
I look at your job and I'm like, that's so glamorous. Like interviewing such interesting people where I'm sure you have your days and you're like, this is not that glamorous. Like, you know, so I just quickly saw that. And I feel like with the stage of social media, it's just so powerful to put yourself out there and just meet different people. And so I actually ended up doing it because I started doing free work and just to get myself out there. I wanted more experience. I wanted things to put on social media. And from there, I just naturally was connected with these people. And I feel like once you're in that world, you kind of go by referral based. And it's like once you've worked with one celebrity, it's kind of more comforting for them to be like, oh, okay, even if I don't know that person, like I know you're trustworthy and I know that you can work with someone of that caliber and stick kind of with the lifestyle. Like even when I'm working with my organizing team, like I have a team of organizers that I bring in
mm-hmm.
and it's so funny, but like one of my biggest things, like if you've never done organizing, I don't care. I'd rather know that you're just like a trustworthy person and you can stick with kind of like the hustle and the lifestyle and the go, go, go of kind of being in that celebrity world. But I think that if you are somebody listening to this and you're like, I want to get into that celebrity space, you really do have to do some free work in the beginning. Of course, unless like, you know, you're just kind of gifted somebody that maybe found you or is your friend and is a celebrity.
Yeah. And we talk a lot about networking on this podcast because I think, I'm huge on like, you don't need to have a network originally, like you don't need to be born into connections and born into a network, but you have to make connections. You have to build your network. And it's really accessible. Like, I do believe that like building your network and building, you know, making connections with people is an accessible thing to do nowadays with social media and with LinkedIn. And I think it's like so much easier to meet people versus maybe 30 years ago, if you wanted to be a stylist, like you kind of just had to be born into it, I feel like, or be at the right place at the right time. So what are your tips on actually making that first connection and meeting with the right people? Because there's probably a lot of noise in the industry. So like, how do you actually like meet the right person that's gonna open the door for you? Or is it just luck?
I have never been asked this question and I could talk about business. Like I always call myself like the accidental entrepreneur.
Yeah.
So I feel like the blessing in that is that I never had like an ego in the beginning. I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. So like, if I look stupid, I don't really care. I used to sit on LinkedIn. Again, I didn't know that I wanted to be in the celebrity space at first. So I used to work in entertainment though. Before I did fashion PR, I did television PR. And I could see that these people in entertainment had like no time on their hands, but they always had to look really good. Mm-hmm. So I tried to think about who has a problem and how can my services fix that? And those were the people that I just put into a box. And I was like, they need me. Like they need me. I can make their lives easier. Because I did that and I reached out to all these people, I would literally go on LinkedIn and like, I would outdo all the messages you could send in one day. Like, I'm sure they probably flagged me as like spam. Like, this is like an AI robot just like sending the same message. I would go onto all these entertainment managers and just say, like, do any of your clients need help? Do you need help? I'll give you a free hour for my services. If you like it, then, you know, now you have me in your contacts books for the next guy. I would just always say yes to talking to anybody. One of the biggest celebrities I've worked with, which unfortunately on NDA of classic, can't say. I got them because somebody found me on Instagram and was just like, hey, can I take a phone call with you? I just want to know about your services. I ended the phone call and I was like, I'm probably never going to hear from that person again. 2 years later, I get a crazy email. And I was like, what? Like, you just never know. So always take a chance. Like, you're only going to look stupid if you don't do it. So if you want to reach out to someone on Instagram, what's the worst that they're going to happen? The absolute worst is that they're probably going to say, like, no, please stop talking to me. Like, it's going to be so awkward. And you can just heart the message and you can move on. So, like, okay. It's okay. Yeah, like, thanks. Bye.
Yeah.
A feeling everyone listening to this has experienced is standing in front of the mirror, battling with your hair, and trying to tame the frizz before you head out. Meanwhile, you could be doing something more exciting, like booking a spontaneous getaway to, I don't know, the Caribbean or something, or binge watching the Eras tour like I did this weekend. That's where Way's new anti-frizz cream swoops in to save the day. You are too busy to be dealing with frizz, so say hello to Way's new anti-frizz cream. It is like a magic wand for your hair, which provides immediate frizz control that lasts up to 72 hours. And if we're going to talk about hair routine, incorporating Way's anti-frizz cream into mine has literally transformed my hair. It is a time-saving superhero that fits seamlessly into my routine. And can we talk about the Sydney-inspired North Bondi scent? It is like a mini vacation every time I use it and takes me back to Australia when I went this summer. Not to mention, my hair feels lighter and looks smoother than ever before. So get busy being frizz-free with Way's new anti-frizz cream. It's not just about taming frizz. It provides heat protection up to 450 degrees. It reduces and repairs split ends, and it quenches dry hair with intense hydration. And according to a consumer perception study, 90% of participants agreed that their hair looked less frizzy after using it, so you gotta trust it. Don't forget to check out Way's other bestsellers, though, like the leave-in conditioner, their detox shampoo, which I use every time I wash my hair because I can go a long time without washing my hair, fragrances, and hair oils. They are all essential for achieving that salon-worthy look at home. So frizz-free up your schedule with Way. Go to theouai.com and enter promo code REALREAL for 15% off any product. That's theouai.com, promo code REALREAL.
I totally agree. That's like exactly how I started my business. So I do my podcast, I do content creation, but I also have a business where it's called Rella and it's an app.
Oh,
and
nice.
It helps creators, their teams, and like even like freelancers, small business owners manage and automate their workflow. So it's a project management tool for social media based businesses. And so when I started it, I had no idea what I was doing. And it was very much like, hey, I have this problem. I want to fix it. This is what I want to build. And I met my co-founders that helped me build it through just talking to random people, making connections, like just taking phone calls with anyone, being curious, not being afraid to say like, hey, I don't know what I'm doing, so you're going to have to help me out here. Same way with we ended up raising money. So we raised a pre-seed round.
That's amazing.
Thank you. I have no idea about investing. I knew nothing about venture capital. I knew nothing about the tech startup world, but I just wasn't afraid to look stupid. Like, I was asking anyone the most basic questions, even with our investors. Like, obviously you have to act confident and you have to be confident, not just act it, but you have to believe in your business. And like, with the business, with the idea, with the team, I'm incredibly confident. But I was very transparent about like, hey, I'm a first-time founder. Here's the things we're struggling with. Here's, you know, what I don't know what to do. Here's, and I was like super honest versus I think so many people think they have to walk into a room knowing everything already. And like, I can't ask questions because then they're going to think I'm stupid. And that's not how, like, everyone has questions that they need answered. You know, everyone has moments where they're going to feel dumb or you're not going to be the smartest one in the room. And I think that's a really good thing, actually. And that's where you learn and that's where you do make those like meaningful connections.
I think that's amazing that you have the self-awareness for that too, because like that took me a long time in the beginning. And I used to, it even got like bad to the point where like I would have a business call with like an accountant that I would find. And I had no shame. Like my now husband is so good at that type of stuff where it like, I don't understand. It's like it goes in one ear at the other. Like mm-hmm. he just will never register with me. And now I have no shame. I'm like, oh, my husband's going to sit on the call. Like, is he my business partner? Like, I mean, technically not, but I don't care. Like, he's going to relay it in terms to me that I can, you know, understand, or he's going to help me with that. But I also think that, again, if you're someone listening, or like, I feel like the two of us are maybe more like the creative mindset.
Yeah.
And my brother, for an example, he's an entrepreneur, but more like in engineering side, mm-hmm. like businessy side. But to be honest, like I would feel so confident saying that like he would have no idea how to use social media, or like not even know that that's like a really powerful tool. So I've just learned that these are strengths that I have, and everything else, like you outsource, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? And you'll figure it out. And I love that you say like, don't be afraid to look dumb, because like maybe again, it's like a female thing, but that's like my biggest insecurity is that I just hate looking dumb or feeling naive.
Yeah.
And now I'm just at the point where I'm like, I don't care.
Yeah,
I don't care. I'd rather have a successful business and be able to just outsource other people and bring in, because what's the phrase? You know what you know, and you don't know what you don't know, or something like that.
Yeah.
Like I just feel like it's something that you really need to learn when you have your own business.
Because if you're scared to look stupid and you don't ask the questions that need answers and you just never get the answers to them, you never learn, you're not going to progress, you know?
Oh, yeah.
It's going to stop you. Or I know so many people that want to start a business, but they're like, I just don't know how. And I'm like, no one knows how when they're first starting. Like, you just have to do it, and you figure out, you just ask your way to figuring it out. And like, you can Google anything, you can talk to anyone, like what you said, how you just took calls with anyone, because you never know who's also going to be able to, you know, reference you in the future. You never know who you're going to be able to call and ask for a favor in the future, or maybe introduce to someone else in the future. And you never know who's going to be in your life for a long time. So I was also someone that took calls with anyone, asked any question I could think of, and that's how you get the ball moving. Like, no one knows the answers.
Or it's just good practice, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, I did some of the weirdest things. I'm just trying to think of, like, any specific stories. I can't, but, like, really just weird things. And I was like, mm-hmm. I just also want to keep, like, my days busy. And staring at a computer is going to get you nowhere. I'd rather have coffee with somebody and be like, well, that was stupid and probably not going to do anything than just stare at my computer all day and be like, oh, my God, I feel worthless inside my apartment right now. Like, I'm sure that you know, like, I mean, I always feel like I put such a weight on myself that I want to get things done faster. Why is this not moving faster? I'm being so impatient. So like, I feel like we're our toughest critics when you're a business owner. Nothing is honestly ever good enough. I know that's like kind of sad to say, but I'm sure you feel that, you know?
Yeah, totally. And I love that you said that you're an accidental entrepreneur.
Oh, totally. I'm always like, if I write a book, that's what it's going to be called.
I love that. You should like trademark that, because I think
okay. Don't tempt me. I will.
Because I feel like that's how so many people, that's honestly how some of the best businesses get started, is by you realize, okay, I have a problem, or I can solve a problem. I'm the person to do it. And like you said, like, I can solve this problem. Here's who needs help. Let me go after them. And you just messaged people. And I'm sure you got a bunch of your first clients that way.
Yeah. And it's interesting that you kind of, I don't even know if I answered your earlier question about like how to stick out in the crowd, because a lot of people, of course, want to be in, you know, work with celebrities or whoever. Mm-hmm. Maybe you don't even want to work with celebrities. Maybe it's just you want to learn how to stick out in the crowd. I don't think, when people always say like, oh, find out what's missing in the industry. And it's like, that is so,
such a broad question.
Big undertaking too.
Yeah.
But that's why I am kind of happy I did the free work in the beginning, because a lot of the things that I offer now, some of my best services, like I do work with the everyday person. Actually, that's like the majority of my business. And I really, really enjoy doing that sometimes the most, is I do a lot of closet edits and I do a lot of styling with what's already in people's closets. And I noticed that a lot of stylists actually weren't doing that. They were saying like, oh, this is missing in your wardrobe. And or they wouldn't even look in your wardrobe. They'd be like, we need to buy X, Y, and Z. Where I was like, you know what? Why don't I put together outfits with what's already in your wardrobe? I can still recommend pieces that you can add and I can style, but at least now I'm kind of creating a whole new wardrobe with what you already own. That is a service that I feel like not a lot of people do. And that was, I feel like, something that made me stick out in the crowd. But I was still talking with my clients in the beginning and being like, oh, have you ever worked with somebody in the past? What didn't you like? That it like, if you ask those type of questions in the beginning,
mm-hmm.
that's how you can kind of figure it out. So I'm sure maybe with you too, like you realize like, okay, you know, he or she isn't doing this, or this is doing really well. And you can kind of figure out what you can do to stick out.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And I think that what you said about working with the everyday person, because like I was saying, so many people want to work with celebrities, but that's such a small market. Like, there's not that many out there in the grand scheme of things, but there's a lot of people that want help with elevating their style and don't know where to start. And one of my things with having a stylist is it feels like it's only for like the rich and famous, because, oh, they're going to show me like for one outfit, I'm going to have to spend $1,000. And like, I'm sorry, I don't have that money to spend on one outfit, but I have a closet full of clothes that I'm sick and tired of. Help with that first, you know? And I think that that's a much better solution than just saying like, okay, you want to elevate your style, here's like a bunch of expensive clothes that you can buy and you're out thousands of dollars for like a couple outfits.
I think that was and it still is some of the hardest things for me to do is not shopping with my own credit card. Because when I first started in the styling world, when I left PR and I was like, okay, I just need to get styling experience again. I didn't want to do an internship. I wanted something paid. So I went into like a retail styling role and we had a quota. So like I was trying to sell really expensive things, but I am the worst salesman ever. And so my clients would be like, but I love the blazer you're wearing. And I was like, oh my God, this is from Zara. How am I going to sell her this like $1,000 blazer that my manager wants me to sell? And I just realized it's still very hard for me sometimes to shop in a high end like luxe. I just feel bad, genuinely. Mm-hmm. I feel guilty. And it even goes into closet organizing too. Like I have clients that will email me, oh, well, I would love to work with you, but it's not like a beautiful walk-in. And I'm like, what do you mean? Most of the closets I work, I mean, I'm based in LA. So it's like, if there's organizers in New York, like you're not always working with these big walk-in closets. And by the way, sometimes the celebrities don't have that either. You have to find those organizing techniques because, you know, not everything is as glamorous as it seems on social media. I mean, like really, especially with the organizing world, I found.
Yeah.
But I don't think that you need to be like a celebrity to have this amazing wardrobe. I think that you can literally shop your entire wardrobe on Amazon or thrift your entire wardrobe and be more stylish than someone who can only afford or that's only shopping designer.
Right. And what were your first few jobs, even if they were free? Was it in the organizing space or was it in the styling space?
No. Both? I should have included this in the first question that you asked, but I kind of fell into organizing because I did a job with fashion PR and it was in New York and it was really funny. The girls were not mean to me, but they were just like, Caitlin, you are the most LA girl. Like, do you notice we're in black every day? I was in this like, I mean, I don't think it exists anymore. This like planet blue, like summery dress. And they were like, we can offer you a job when you graduate, but it has to be like in LA. And I ended up doing fashion PR in LA as my second job out of college. And then I was like, I hate this. So I jumped the gun and I went to this company. I don't even think it exists anymore. It's called Trunk Club. It was like a styling retail type job. Okay. And I had a client going back to the quota. She was like, can you come tell me what my wardrobe is missing? And I went to her house. I looked through everything and I had that like devil angel moment of like, what do I tell her her wardrobe is missing so I can make that quota? And I ended up like making outfits with what she already owned. When I put back her clothes, she texted me like a week later. She's like, love how you organized the closet. I need you to come back next month.
Oh, and so you weren't even doing that on purpose.
No, I was like offended because she was like, I need you to come back and organize. And I told my husband, I was like, I'm not like, why? I'm a stylist.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not an organizer. Like, and it was before it was like trendy. I think like Marie Kondo had like just kind of popped off.
Yeah.
And it was very interesting. Like, it was definitely like an ego thing at first. But then like, I kind of fell in love with it because I was like, I just, maybe again, it's like an entrepreneur type mindset. But I love that it was just not fashion every single day. It was like some days it was editing, some days it was organizing. And then now I have a whole team. So I do like the full home organizing too. So I just taught myself organizing. So again, yeah, I guess you're right. Then it must be like a natural skill to have. Well, it's like a confidence boost podcast.
Yeah.
Love it.
Amazing. Like, it's like therapy. I think that's always when you find out like what you're good at is other people have to tell you. Like other people have to be like, wait, that's not like, not everyone knows how to do that. Like in your mind, you're probably like, I didn't even do anything. Cause like it was naturally.
Get to you too when people are like, oh my God, that's amazing. You did X, Y, and Z. And you're like, was it amazing? And you have this like psychological moment. And you're like, wait, was that cool? I thought that that's like what I'm supposed to do. So it like doesn't feel as like rewarding and things like that. I feel like it's very hard sometimes, especially when it's just like you're in your own business, especially if you don't have a ton of partners or whatnot. Yeah, it's hard sometimes for you to recognize like, no, that is pretty cool. Like my services, like I would want that.
Exactly. You have to kind of like pull your head up and view yourself from like an outsider's perspective, because I think imposter syndrome is so real, where you're like, if I'm not like the best, like I'm not the smartest, I'm not like, I did a whole podcast episode on this about confidence, how I think confidence doesn't have to do with being the best, being the smartest, being like the prettiest. It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with just being out of your comfort zone, showing up for yourself, and like being consistent. So like you are consistently, you know, going after and like messaging new people, let's say, to get clients, and you're showing up for yourself and you're like, oh, wow, like it's been a week and I've messaged, you know, 200 people. And then eventually you get a client from that. Like that builds your confidence because you've like shown up, versus just saying like, oh, I want to be a stylist, and just saying it, but like not doing anything. You're probably going to think, well, I'm not a great stylist because no one wants to hire me, but you haven't even like put in the work for
it. I mean, I think even social media, putting yourself out there, like last year was the first year, like towards the end, that I was like, I need to take this seriously and it's really going to help my business because I have my own product now. I was like, that was kind of like the boost I needed to like build a brand. And I have so many friends that they were like, you don't get like cringed out that you're posting. And I'm like, no. I just don't care anymore.
Who cares? Yeah.
I'm just literally, like, who cares? Everybody else is doing it. And what? Then I'm going to cry in my bed because I'm gonna be like, no one's buying my product. And yeah. How are they finding me? Like, right. No one's going on Yelp anymore. No one's like, you know, like there's no newspapers. Like it's social media. So like, I really is like fake it till you make it. You really have no choice. If you're going to start your own business, like you're the face, you have to eat, sleep, breathe it. Like exactly. You genuinely have no choice.
Yeah, I totally agree. So you have your own product. It's the bikini bags, right?
Yes, yes.
How did you, was that also just like a thing that you wanted and you were like, why don't I make this? Or how did that come to life?
Well, okay, so obviously I'm from LA. Most of my clients are in LA. Ton of swimwear, especially in the influencer world. It's like swimwear is just crazy gifted. I am so big with organizing on, if you can't maintain it, it's not an organizing technique.
I saw your Alex Earl video, the one that you pinned. Oh my gosh. And well, I totally agreed.
And yeah. I loved how they did that. But I was like, if I was working with Alex, like she is literally like, I'm messy. I'm in my room for 0.2 seconds and I'm going from here, here, here. Like she needs something that like is like dummy proof. I don't even mean that in a mean way. Like you just need to be foolproof. And so when I would work with these girls, like, you know, we do all these intricate folds and they were like, I'm not gonna be able to maintain that. Just like, don't waste the time. Just like throw it in my drawer. I'm like, this looks so ugly. And then I had a client who like had a couple of her swimsuits in just the packaging that they came in. And I was like, well, that was easy. That made my job so much easier. And I was like, oh, but they're not all matching. They don't all fit. So then I came out with them and yeah, it was just kind of like, again, not super on accident, but just kind of a problem that I noticed. And I would say like, so I've had so many people that when I first started, like I got, you should make your own hangers. You should do this. I'm like, why would I do that? It's already like there.
You're fine with the ones that are out there.
Yeah, they exist. Like it's already, I think that like if you're listening to this, you want to have your own product. Doesn't necessarily need to be something completely new and unique, but it has to have like a little twist on it. Like I think Lauren Everts from Skinny Confidential does the best job at doing this because like, she just takes products that do really well, but that she talks about, she uses them and she's like, but this would be so much better if it just had a thumbprint. It would be so much better if it just had whatever it is. Like these little tweaks, that's exactly what happened to me. So now I'm very specific on any products that I come out with in the future. Like it has to be something that like is very branded towards me and it is a little bit different, not just a different color, but like a little slightly different. So yeah. I just like these. You don't have to be a professional organizer to use them. Mm-hmm. They work for anybody. Dummy proof.
Yeah. So now do you mostly do organizing or do you styling for the most part?
I do. I feel like it's definitely a combo of both. I actually feel like one of my best services is closet editing. That's like pretty much like the most requested service that I do is closet editing.
What's closet editing?
So that's if you message me and you're like, hey, I need to get rid of all the clutter in my closet. I have no idea what to keep, what to get rid of. This is also something that I'll do, though, before I style somebody. Something I'll do before I organize, too, because you have to get rid of the clutter during a closet edit. We also take note of what's missing in your wardrobe, and then I know what to shop for. So closet editing is just like, it's such a must do for like anybody. It's just like you can't go shopping unless you know it's missing from your closet. You don't want to organize because you don't want to organize a bunch of clutter. So that's definitely like my most number one service. Yeah.
I need to do that with you because.
Oh, anytime. I do it virtually too now, which is actually like, I never thought I could do it virtually. And I had somebody who was like, please, please, please. And I was like, oh, this actually is very easy to do virtually. So yeah, that I can do with virtual clients.
Yeah,
so
because we'll do it. I'm someone who I don't have a big closet. Mm-hmm. So and I get a lot of gifting, and I also like shopping. So it's like double stuff coming into my closet, but I don't want to take time to like, one, it takes a lot of time for me to go through everything, throw things out, right. Donate things. And also I'm just like, but like, what if this trend comes back? Or what if, you know, I really do like this, but like, maybe I just haven't styled it right. You know, it's, you get in your head about like not throwing stuff out.
Yeah.
So I need you to help me with that.
Oh, I could like really quickly answer those two things that you just said, which is so funny.
Okay, let's go.
Yeah. So items that whenever I do podcasts and someone's like, oh, but I struggle with this, I'm like, I'm going to change your life right now. I got you. Okay, so for items that you're scared they're going to come back into trend, I always say like the best example I could give is like with True Religion low-rise jeans. I had a client one time, she's like, why'd you tell me to get rid of those? Like, my daughter is 18 and she says they're so in style. They're not in style for the people who originally had them. Do you know what I mean? Like, and that's not even like a shaming thing. It's just like, now, like, we're 40-year-old, 50-year-olds, like, your style changes.
Low-rise True Religion jeans anymore.
And also the trends come back a little bit different. Now the low-rise is more of like a baggy boyfriend vibe. It's not that like bootcut low-rise. So I always say like your closet should just be the pieces that you want to wear, because the less you look out in the morning, the quicker it is to get dressed. If you wanted to keep those items that you're scared if they're going to come back into trend, I would just do it with handbags, maybe shoes, but usually just handbags if you have the room, if you don't want to sell them to buy something else. Shoot, and then what was your other question?
How, like, I don't know how to style certain things
fashion inspo photos. So, like, this outfit I'm wearing today, for example, I had screenshotted this probably in December. I was like, oh, that's a cute outfit. I screenshot it. I save it in my, an album on my phone. That way, like, when I'm rushed to get, I could be sitting in bed and I could have thought of this outfit because I'm just scrolling through my outfit inspo and I'm like, okay, I have a black blazer. I have a similar heel. Like, you can change it up a little bit, but I do that all the time.
And are you a big Pinterest person?
I wasn't. And then I realized, yeah, I am. I'm a huge, I don't even save them still. Like, I'll just screenshot and I put it in my phone. Cause like, to me, it's like, you have to go on another app, the whole thing, screenshot it, put it in your phone. Like, I promise you it's the best. And you'll use those when you edit your closet too. Because if you're going through your closet and you're like, I don't know if I should keep these jeans. If they're not on your fashion inspiration photos, probably you're not into them. If they are, you probably just don't know how to style them.
Yeah. No, I need to, I just started using Pinterest again and I'm like, okay, it's giving me a lot of inspo, but I go through this phase where I'm sure so many people go through this, but I hate my closet every like quarter. Like, I'm like, everything I like hate it.
I do that too.
Like, I even like just bought this top over the summer and I really like this top, but like, I don't like this outfit. I'm like, ugh, like, I don't think these jeans were the best for this or this, but it's like cold out, you know? And then I get like annoyed with myself because I'm like, ugh, I like have this cute top, but I have no idea what to wear it with and I don't have the right piece for it or something like that, and I want to throw everything out. Or I'm a big basics person. I own a lot of basics. Like, I love like a basic tee and jeans and sneakers, and then I get like mad at myself or like, well, why don't I branch out and wear like more color, more, you know, have fun with my outfits. And I don't know, like, that's, I end up like hating my closet every few months.
So if you said that to me and we were at an appointment, this is like the biggest tip I get to get a complete wardrobe. As you're getting dressed, let's say you put on that top, for example, and you're like, well, this would look really cute with like a white trouser, and you didn't have that in your closet, you should add it to a list. I literally will just use the notes app on my phone. I did it with sheer tights the other day. I was like, these are not sheer enough. Like, I want really sheer tights. Then by the end of the week, I have like I call it like a grocery list, but for your wardrobe, you know exactly what to buy. And that's how you're going to get complete outfits. Also, when you're getting dressed, let's say you put on the outfit and you're like, ooh, I really love this. Take a photo in it, a selfie. Like, these are going nowhere. It's just for your memory. Save it in an album on your phone again so that you can just be scrolling and be like, wow, okay, I love all these pieces. Like, I'm just going to use that outfit today. So I think that it gets really overwhelming when you hate everything in your closet. But you have to also know that basics are kind of trendy right now too, which is also kind of hard because I feel like a lot of people are very onto that like chic minimalist vibe. And it really is just a bunch of basics. So it's a good and a bad thing. It's a good thing because it's pretty timeless, you know, when a new style is going to come around. But if you want to change it up, just add in different accessories, you know, like if you did a white t-shirt, jeans, and today you're feeling super colorful, maybe you throw on a red bag. But if you did the same outfit and you're like, oh, I'm kind of feeling more like simple chic, maybe you just do like a, you know, neutral style bag. Yeah. You know, you can really play around with accessories and just change up even just a white t-shirt and jeans.
Yeah, I know. I need to get better at buying more like pops of color or like accessories, because sometimes I think like if it's not basic and then I can't wear it with a bunch of things, and I'm like, is it worth the money? You know, I get that dilemma.
And it must be hard too, because if you travel, or if you are somebody who travels, mm-hmm. I think that's when it's really hard. Like, I just got back from Cabo, and like, I'm a neutral girl. Like, of course, I'm in all black. And when I was in Cabo, I didn't bring one black thing. Like, it was color. Like, color threw up in my suitcase. That is not me. But like, the second I go somewhere tropical, it's only color.
Yeah.
So it's definitely hard if you're someone who travels, or if I have a different style every day I wake up too. So it's really finding those versatile pieces. I think that's like the most key thing when you work with a stylist. If you're going to pay somebody for expertise in that, like, ask them, can you help me with versatile pieces that work for day, that work for night? This is my lifestyle. I want to find pieces that work for everything, you know, mm-hmm. in my life. That way you're really going to have a complete wardrobe.
Yeah. And what are some of your organizing hacks? So I know these are like some styling hacks, how to, you know, have the complete wardrobe, how to know when to get rid of something. But what about organization? Because I have a closet that's overfilling, and my drawers are like packed. Like, what do you start with? I know after you do the edit, you throw things out, or you know, you donate things that don't need to be there. But like, then what do you do to like move things around?
So quick little tidbit is that I will say, especially I've noticed it more like influencers or people who are gifted things. You do kind of have to have a moment where you're like, this is my space. Do I really want all these clothes in it, or do I want to edit it so that my closet looks beautiful and it's spaced out? Like, I've worked with people that they're like, I don't care that my wardrobe is really cluttered or my closet's cluttered. I just need everything to be in like a specific order. If that works for you, great. For me, like, I edit my closet all the time because like I like spaced out hangers. So you're saying your drawers are super packed. Now I would tell you, okay, we obviously want some drawer dividers. Like, I always get bamboo drawer dividers to combine categories so that your drawers at least are condensed. But if they're still overflowing, because realistically, most of us aren't going to maintain like an intricate fold that we see on Instagram, I would tell you, I'd be like, okay, do you really need this pair of sweatpants? Because like, you know, your drawers really are kind of over flooding. So that's one thing that I would say, like, really be cutthroat with the edit. Yeah. Not too cutthroat, but pretty cutthroat. I would say the biggest hack that I probably use this out of like 9 out of 10 closets are these things called shoe stackers, because I feel like everybody runs out of shoe space. And there's plastic little devices, and you're able to stack one shoe on top of the other. So obviously on a shelf, you would have two shoes next to each other. This way they're consolidated and they're just one on top of the other. I use that in so many of my closets. I also think a hack that maybe people wouldn't really think about doing is adding white floating shelves. They don't even have to be white. You can match the decor of your space. Adding in shelves and making it more of like almost like a display. Like, if you're someone who's really mm-hmm. girly, you might want to do like little handbags with specific shoes, put some candles, put some coffee table books. Totally. I think that, like, I always say, like, treat your organizing your closet kind of like decorating a space in your home. Like, you know how people get really into pantry organizing? Yeah. Because their guests are going to see it. Your closet really is kind of the same thing. Like, my goal is to always make it look like a boutique. So I love using, again, like, organizing supplies that are the perfect mix of function and aesthetic.
Yeah.
So I think adding in shelf spacing, maybe you add in some rolling racks that kind of fit your vibe. If you have a separate room, you could do like an office, you know, you could do a decorative rolling rack. It doesn't have to be like a steel, ugly, you know, rolling rack. So I think finding those creative solutions, but definitely I've noticed shoe space is like the biggest one that people, mm-hmm. they don't know how to fix that.
Yeah. What's an under, I guess, what people don't talk about when it comes to styling? Like, if you're styling someone for an event, or you're going into like someone's home and you're organizing their space, how much of it is like the prep of like getting to know the person and figuring out what works best for them? Or do you kind of have a system now where you can just hire people and, you know, they can use your system and like get it done? You know what I'm saying? Like, is it a very personal touch, or is it something where you can hire a big team and send them out and they can kind of do the work for you?
Styling, I only do by myself because I really feel like that is very personalized. Yeah. And I do kind of feel like, again, I feel like maybe that's just coming with comfortability too. Like, I feel like if someone wants to work with me, it's because they want to work specifically with me, not somebody else. I always get to know about the client's lifestyle, though. Like, I think it's so important. I do feel like celebrities, though, like, when I've worked with celebrity styling, they want you to be the expert. It's less about figuring out what they like. It's mm-hmm. more just like, can you just tell me what looks good? Like, you're the expert. I really love to be collaborative, though. So, like, I really like to get to know the person's style. It just helps me pick out pieces for them, too. It makes it more interesting for me. But I do think, like, when I work with the everyday person, like, they're very comfortable in telling me, like, oh, no, this is my inspo. I think it's because, like, a lot of celebrities aren't going to show other celebrities and be like, this is my vibe. They want to have their unique vibe. Right. So I think that when it comes to that type of stuff, then you really do have to be the expert when you're working more in the like celebrity space. And I think like going back to the imposter syndrome, like I used to really get stressed out before a red carpet because I was like, oh my gosh, I feel like I need to reinvent the wheel and it has to be something that no one's ever seen. And it really doesn't need to be that. It's just like, I'm always like, okay, you just need to relax. If it looks good, then it looks good.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be like groundbreaking, like something that no one's ever seen before.
Whatever it is, I feel like sometimes they can like miss the mark too.
No, totally. Those are usually the outfits. And it's so hard because I always wonder from like a PR standpoint too, like do they ever work with a stylist and say like, we want to just like get talked about. We don't really care. I'm always curious with that. Like, because it hasn't happened to me, but sometimes I'm like, this is not cool. There's no way that someone was like, this was cool. I just feel like it's to they get just talked about. To
talk about. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so true. I didn't even think about that. What's the biggest event that you've styled for? Like red carpet or?
Yeah, I'd probably say when I was working with Harry a lot, he was going to so many red carpets. I'm pretty sure, I think it was the Grammys red carpet that he went to. Not last year, but the year before. I think that was probably my biggest.
That's awesome. That's so cool.
Yeah, it was very cool.
What's the process like for a red carpet like that? Like, how far out are you picking outfits? How are you doing multiple fittings? Are you, you know, like...
It's always last minute.
Okay.
It is. And that's why I'll be honest. Like, I have really had to decide, like, what was making me happy and what did I like doing most with my job was because I would get raging anxiety before these red carpets because it was like... 3 days before. And again, you're like, where do I go? What do I do? And it's really down to the wire. So it's a lot of like last minute pulls, last minute buys. You're running everywhere. It's just like chaotic. And again, like if you're someone who's creative, it's really bad to be, at least for me, like under a time, you know, crunch because I'm like, my brain now is just thinking about executing it. I'm not even like, there's no creative bone in my body left. So when I don't get notice, I don't really do well. Like, I'm not one of those people that does well under pressure. Like, I like to prepare. And I will say, like, if you're in the celebrity space, like, be prepared for, like, a 911 over, like, the not the right thong. Like, it's wild.
Like, I know. You're like, okay, this is not life or death, but, like, they're treating it as that.
If I could sum up one thing, it'd be, like, it's not life or death. Like, I – luckily, like, I haven't had, like, crazy horror stories, but – I'm just telling you, like, it really is not like the most glamorous thing that I feel like the whole Hollywood experience, like most of the behind the scenes, like there's so much that you wish that you could like share or say, or like, just be like, I wish somebody could just see this that wants to get into this world. And like, it just really is. It's a crazy, crazy world.
Yeah. No, I feel like it is one of those worlds where it seems so glamorous, like you were saying. It's like, oh my God, you get to work with famous people. You get to dress them for the red carpet. And it's like running around and running errands and getting last minute things and just being stressed.
And then, I mean, even for the celebrities too, like I'll give them that. Like, I mean, I remember, I think there was like this one like episode of like Kardashians where Kim like is on the way to the Met and she like misses the entrance and then she has to like run around. You know what I mean? But then they go up there and they have to act like super posed and they're getting their picture taken. Like, I would freak out. You know what I mean? So, I mean, I guess on both ends, you just have to act professional.
Yeah.
And fake it till you make it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Are you friends with other people in the industry that work in similar fields or?
Not even like, oh, I wouldn't be. I just like, again, I think because I didn't intern ever and I fell into it more. Oh my gosh. I, for a long time and probably still, I would go to these showrooms and like there'd be other stylists there and I had no idea what to charge in the beginning because no one talks about it. And I thought like I was kind of vibing with this one girl. We were pulling. I was like, I don't even know how this got up. I obviously wasn't like, oh, what do you charge?
But yeah, like, I feel like that should even be a normal question though. Like, because how do people know?
No, it's like not on Google. Like, I have no idea. And again, maybe this is just a terrible experience, but she was like looking at me like I wanted to steal her clients. And I'm like, we're living in a world where like people are famous on TikTok every hour. Like, there's enough celebrity to go around. Mm-hmm. And I remember, like, I was like, okay, I have no idea. And I ended up working on this closet, and this person had, like, an in-house stylist of someone who used to be a celebrity stylist. And we were chit-chatting, and I was telling her about my experience in doing styling. And I was like, yeah, my biggest thing is I just don't know what to charge. I ended up telling her, and she was like, what you charge for the entire experience is what you should be charging for an hour. And I was doing that. I'm probably still doing that. But like I was doing that for like 3.5 years. Oh, it was like wild. So that's why I was, and it was fine because I was like, I was never really focused. I obviously have always wanted to make money, but I just have always known that like what I'm going to do, there's such like a bigger thing. So I wasn't like so focused on the dollar amount and the service industry, but it's just funny because I was just like, why is no one that, like, I'm just such an open book. Yeah. Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
I'm like, what's the point of gatekeeping? Like, I'm not going to steal your clients and the world is small. You're going to know if I did.
Yeah. I don't like that. No. Yeah. I think it's horrible. Like, I'm totally fine. Even in the influencer industry, like, if someone wants to ask me how much I charge for a brand deal, like, I will tell you, because the more that we can all collectively make, like, it's better for everyone. It's
Totally.
Like, if you charge a really, really, really low amount and then people catch on and start working with you, these like bigger people are going to get upset because it's like you are lowering the price for everyone. You know what I'm saying? So I feel like it's actually better in everyone's best interest if you do like know what to charge so that the industry as a whole can kind of go up.
Oh, yeah. It was wild. I was like, oh, well, there goes 3 years of my life. But like you just can't think about it like that. Yeah.
Also, there's something invaluable about the experience that you're getting and like the clients that you're receiving and what you're working on. So I think
I feel like the first 5 years, I wonder if you feel different, is like it really is the trial and error. Totally. Where like you almost, obviously, again, you are focused on the dollar amount, but like you kind of aren't too, because you just know like it's not really gonna, or it shouldn't hopefully matter in like the next 5 years, because you'll probably be at completely different jump points. So it was just, it was very interesting. But I don't know if anyone else listening has different experience, but it was just funny. I was like, why am I like meeting like the least friendly people ever? I just never liked the vibe of like even going to showrooms. I was just like, I'm not.
I feel like the fashion industry is catty though.
It's just not me.
It's been gatekept for a very long time. You know, even if you think back to like, I don't know if you watched The Hills when that was out, but like,
yes,
when like Lauren was working at Teen Vogue and stuff.
Yes, I wanted to be her.
I wanted to be Lauren Conrad. Like, yes. That was like my dream.
Headband and all.
Yeah. And I was like, there's no way in. Like, you have to like know someone, you know, like you have to have a connection. You have to know someone in order to get into this. And I just felt like it was, even at the time, I was so little watching that show, and I would try like anything to be able to like get my foot in the door. And I mean, I was able to like, I remember when I was in high school, I applied for this thing called the 17 Style Council, and it was 17 Magazine. And it was like their style council where you could, you were kind of like a contributor to the magazine, but they would put you in their features, and it was a year. And so they didn't pay you, but I was in like 5 different 17 Magazine magazines in like 2012. It was like a really long time ago. And they flew me to New York twice. We did like studio shoots, and it was the coolest experience of my life. And I remember like when I was chosen for that and applied for that, I was like, I want to be Lauren Conrad. So like, this is my way in, because I can have a connection with 17.
Wait, I love that.
And even
though,
like years later, I would like email the people that I worked with at 17, like even when I was in college, because I did this in high school, and I was like trying to find a way to intern, trying to find a way to make a connection. Like, you really have to hustle your way in, I think. It's not easy.
Yeah, I think that, and not even to be like, oh, I'm the generation below me, I'm so old. But like, I think that that's a very, I've heard from multiple people, and like, I have heard from a few celebrity stylists that like, it's very hard to find people that want to work for free, and not just in the styling world. I think in general, I think it's very hard. I feel like people are seeing people get so famous and make money on social media from such a young age. And if you're not in that industry, I think that people forget that like in most other jobs, you need to pay your dues. Like half of my career before I started like my own business was like getting coffee for people. And you just, my mom would always tell me like, don't look at what you're doing. Look at what your boss is doing. Look at, if, do you like what she's doing? Does that interest you? Because like your day to day doesn't matter. Hopefully, you know, you're going to work your way up. So it is really funny. I feel like people forget that like you need to grind. I mean, I did some really freaking embarrassing stuff when I was first starting out, like worse than the LinkedIn reach out. It's like really cringe.
You just have to be very creative. I think if all you're doing is like applying for a job on a, you know, Indeed.com and thinking that that's, you know, depending on the industry you want to be in. But for the most part, in order to get ahead, you have to be creative. You have to just build your network and like meet people. And
you have to do everything that's free too. Like when you really think
about
it.
Whatever you can, because I always like understand the point where it's like, okay, some people, if it can start as a side hustle, like do it as a side hustle, because that's when you're going to be able to do it for free. Because I agree. You have to do stuff for free, unfortunately. But I obviously know there's some people that are working because like they literally need money to pay their bills. Like they can't do a free internship. Like that's not possible. So I always, I'm a big person where I'm like, free internships shouldn't exist. But I think when you do have like a business that you want to start, you want to break into an industry, you have to be creative and do stuff for free. So it should start as a side hustle for you, or like something.
That's how
like
I
that.
Started. Like yeah. I was the 2 days I had off a week, I was booking appointments. And then I realized like I'm making the same amount of money in 2 days than I am at the other 5 days. And then that's when I was like, I could just do this full time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I completely agree with you about that. And so this was such a great episode, though. I'm so happy that you were on my podcast.
Thank you for having me. I feel like I went all over the place.
Podcast is, though. It is on. These are my favorite conversations.
Okay, good. Because I'm like, as I'm like speaking out my answer, I was like, wait, you didn't answer like the other question that
no,
she
I do
answered.
That all the time.
How funny is that? Yeah.
No, but thank you so much for coming on my
thank
podcast.
Thank you for having me. This is so fun.
Where can they find you? Where can they get your services?
Yeah.
Like, shout yourself out.
Okay, so Instagram, TikTok, Caitlin_James. Don't forget the underscore. It's so important.
And J-A-Y, right?
J-A-Y-M-E-S. Okay. And Caitlin is hard to spell. C-A-I-T-L-A-N. Like, it's, I mean.
We'll have it linked.
Yeah, I'll make it complicated one day. And then just CaitlinJames.com. Website is on there. Just DM me.
Perfect.
Let's keep it simple.
Great. Thank you again, Caitlin.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of The Real Real. I hope that you enjoyed, and don't forget to rate, review, follow, or subscribe on your favorite podcast app. You can follow me personally on Instagram at Natalie Barbu and the podcast at The Real Real Podcast. I'll see you next Monday.
Hey there, my name is Renee Rina, and I am the mom friend you have always wanted. I am also the host of the Mom Room podcast. We publish 2 episodes per week, a co-hosted episode on Tuesdays and a solo episode on Thursdays. Popular topics include pooping and having sex after giving birth. I have a solo episode where I talk about not sharing a bed with my husband and why that's okay. I hope you'll tune in to these conversations every week. Join us on Instagram at the Mom Room podcast and start to feel a little less alone in this crazy thing called motherhood.